Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Grey's Academy, your favorite top 100 podcast in the world. Consecutive readings on that, which is pretty darn cool.
I just knocked over a Dr. Pepper, and then I was like, where did that come from?
Okay, I'm one of your hosts, Carmen.
I'm one of your hosts, Kelsey, ever the klutz, and it is a beautiful night for a podcast, and I was dancing, and that's why I knocked over an empty bottle.
I was concerned when, like, it was your Dr. Pepper, and I was like, oh, no, save the computer.
I haven't drank Dr. Pepper in so long. I had a dream that I had Diet Coke the other day. It's been years.
Yeah.
So many years.
I will say I'm not terribly mad about Coke Zero. It's not too bad, but it's...
I'm not a regular Coke person.
Diet Coke is not great. Are you a Pepsi person? Yeah, okay. Did you say you don't do regular Coke? Or you only do regular Coke?
I don't like regular Coke.
Oh.
It tastes like drinking pure syrup.
Yeah, well, that's the best. Like going to a McDonald's and getting a fresh poured regular Coke, nothing beats that. On a hot summer day, go run a 5K, then drink a ice cold Coke from McDonald's.
Podcast burp. Do you have any shout-outs?
I do have one shout-out. I'm not going to go into the details, but I want to shout-out Claire. Not Clara. Fuck you, Clara. Claire.
I was also going to shout-out Claire, so. Not Clara.
Claire, Kelsey sent me the screenshot of the email that you had sent. I just want to say how proud we are to have you on this journey. I'm not going to share any details, but that was really, really freaking cool to read and see just how much this podcast means to you. And just know that you mean maybe not as much because I think that what you described is very, very special. And we don't take that lightly. But thank you. Thank you for being a part of our family. And we will do our best to make you proud every episode. We promise.
Yes, Claire sent us a delightful email. And Claire is finishing up college and is going to go to veterinary school. So she is a badass. We actually have several fans who are like work with animals in one way or another. And I think that's pretty cool, too.
The world needs good vets.
That's, I agree.
You know, yeah. I think that I realize how important vets are when we went through the process of putting Grievous down. Mm-hmm. Because, like, man, that vet
was amazing.
Was, yeah, truly, truly amazing. Truly inspiring. Yeah. You had a shout out too? Was that the only shout out you were going to have?
No, that was one of them. We have two Patreon to shout out.
Yeah. Wait, did I know about this? Are these new ones?
They both joined Discord, so you should. Well, actually, I don't think the second one. Okay, hold on. First one is Marianne. She joined Discord. I know you spoke.
Yes.
Acknowledged her.
Yes. We had chatted on Instagram a while back too. So shout out, Marianne. You're dope.
Josie Hitt was the second one who I've definitely talked to before. So maybe she was and she came back. Or... anyway,
who is this?
Josie Hitt.
Josie. Josie and the Pussycats?
Josie and the Pussycats. Pussycat.
Remember when they were on Scooby-Doo?
Yes, that was actually a great crossover event.
It was a great Scooby-Doo had the bombest of crossovers.
Do you know what another like iconic event that occurred in a show in childhood that I will like never forget?
What?
Was when Mrs. Pepper and Mr. Salt had paprika.
Yes.
I will like never. Scarlett rewatched that recently and I was like, honestly, this is a formative memory for me.
Yeah. Blue's Clues in general, it's pretty
so good. Yeah. I'm so glad my kids like it because we watch it all the time.
Marlo's
and Bennett just does this when he wants to watch it. He goes, ah, ah. He just
those
does
are,
the Blue's Clues.
Those are the
hands.
Blues. Those are Blue's Clues.
And anytime they're like, let's play Blues. Let's Blue's Clues. Bennett goes, he does it.
Does he also sit down in his thinking chair and think?
Those songs are so good.
They're bops. I'm very fortunate that Marlo is, she's enjoying watching Toy Story. We've watched the first one. We watched the second one. We started tonight watching the third one. Do you remember the opening sequence for Toy Story 3?
Yeah. Is it when they're, he's like, they're playing and it's like the train?
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
I forgot about that. How That's fun funny. Must that have been to animate that opening sequence?
It's funny.
Also, I was telling Jessica, I was like, I had to look to see when did this come out? Because I for sure
took a
girl on a date to see that movie and then nothing happened. It wasn't Jessica. No. Yeah, this girl was not interested in me. Which is sad because I took her to see fucking Toy Story. Yeah, it's her bit. You know what? Yeah. Wherever you're at right now, lady, I'm not going to say your name because I'm not going to do that. What if she listens to the show? What if she's like thinking at home what could have been, you know? And this is her way of listening to the show. And I don't want to shame her, you know?
Okay. Let's continue.
I have one thing to say.
Okay.
I have a Renee joke. I have a joke from Renee.
Okay.
I told my contractor I didn't want carpeted steps. He gave me a blank stare.
It's funny.
That one actually had me dying. Also, this one here. I forgot about this one. I always keep my guitar in the car now. It's good for traffic jams.
There was some really bad traffic here the other day.
Thank you, Renee, for those. Those are golden nuggets. So before we jump in, can I actually tell you the story? So Kelsey is coming to Chicago in a couple weeks now, which we have some really, really awesome stuff planned. Some Patreon exclusive stuff. You're welcome. And some live stuff for everyone. But we promised that we're getting sushi to each other. All you can eat sushi. And I promised Kelsey that I would not get any sushi until then to really let it build up and save. And today I went to Jewel and I held the sushi in my hand and I was going to get just a thing of sushi, just like a rainbow roll. And I thought to myself, no, I'm better than this. I'm going to wait. Also, it was $12.99 when
oh my gosh,
the all you can eat sushi is like $24 or $27.99. This wouldn't have even put a drop in my bucket. So yeah, I put it back, but I was very close to buying it. And I would have felt guilty. So
I am proud of you. And I'm excited for our sush.
Yes. All right. Where does that leave us now? Anything else you want to shout out? Or should we get right into it? Faster than normal,
hey,
actually.
Significantly faster than last time. Also, my mom saw, because I posted the screenshot for the last episode, and she saw your warning of like, if you just want to listen about Grays, fast forward 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So she was like, I'm going to listen to the first 20 minutes and nothing else. And she listened to it. And I was like, yeah, that's like not really what the podcast is about. And she goes, no, it just sounds like listening to you two have a conversation. I was like, well, that's because that's what it is. And she goes, yeah, that's why it's really funny when you read reviews that people like it. And I was like, wow, that was a sick burn.
Your mom said that?
Yes. To my face.
I'm not setting her a wedding present anymore.
So good.
Wait, you know what? I'm mad about the burn, but did she give us a 5-star review?
I don't know. I didn't ask. I'll make sure she does. I'm going to see her tomorrow, so I'll make sure she does.
I got to go to an Apple store and write a 5-star review.
She tells other people about our podcast all the time.
That's good. That's good. We haven't done in a long time.
Talked about Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, yeah, that too. We actually, since last week, we have not done that, which is actually true. But let's, while you go ahead and start with some stats about the episode, you can go ahead and kick us off. But I do want to have a shout out. But I want to shout out once before I start talking about the music. So whenever you're ready, go ahead and do the thing about the thing, you know?
This is episode 15 of the 6th season. It is episode 117 overall. It is called The Time Warp. And that is a fucking bop.
It is. It is a bop. It is. We'll get to that in a second. Time Warp. I want to shout out a couple of regions for our listeners that have just been blowing up the fucking streams lately. The UK. Mm-hmm. Shout out to all of you in the UK. You guys must really love Grey's Anatomy, or you're on some sort of kick, because we have been in the top 20 in the UK for the last like 3 weeks for the podcasts within the iTunes podcasting. So thank you. Canada, Germany, typical heavy hitters that we have, but there's a couple of under the radar shout outs here. So some regions that have not made it onto this before, the Philippines, Denmark, and India, cracking our top 10 over the last 60 days. That's pretty fucking cool. Welcome. With that, Time Warp. Let me pull up my notes on this. Sorry, I was just so jazzed up about all the countries that have been showing us some love. So, all right, Time Warp is one of the songs that was featured in the 1973 musical The Rocky Horror Show. And it had a 1975 film adaptation, which was the Rocky Horror Picture Show, which I never saw. Have you seen both? Have you seen these things?
I've seen the one with, my God, what's his name? The famous person.
Tim Curry.
Yes, thank you. Oh, so it's just watching Clue. We watch Clue like probably every other week. Michael and I watch Clue because it's easily one of the best films ever made. I don't think
I've ever seen that movie.
Add that to the list of things we're doing.
You said, I mean, that's fine. But when you said one of the best movies ever made, I thought you were trying to say Anchorman.
No, Clue. Anyways, Clue. That's my favorite Tim Curry movie.
Who else is in that movie? Anyone else like famous?
Yeah. But I can't think of them right now.
Okay. Well, I want to go in with no idea, no expectation. Sleepy. So that'll be part of...
It's an ensemble cast. It's a small cast. Okay. Right. Anyways, sorry. I'm distracted. I was going to say...
That's my fault. This one is my fault.
Rocky Horror Picture Show, but only like watched it with other people at their house. I've never gone to a showing because you know that there's like, it's like a cult movie type thing where like they'll show it in theaters. People will act it out, like parts of it out on stage in front of this movie. And there's like call and response things that the audience says, like when certain things are said, the audience like responds. Are you aware of that at all?
It's like here's the funny thing. There is a movie theater by my house, called Hollywood Boulevard. I don't know if they're still open, but my entire life growing up, the first Saturday or Friday of every month, they would do an overnight showing.
Yes.
That's very
regular in like popular places, like bigger populated places. Yeah.
So they would advertise it, and I never knew what it was, but growing up, when I saw Rocky, I just assumed that it was about Rocky. Sylvester Stallone, the Italian Stallion.
Then I'm actually surprised you didn't go see it.
Well, because I was like, well, oh, Rocky Horror. It's like the horror adaptation of...
because you're scared.
Yes. So anyways, but I didn't know, but Tim Curry, I knew about him because he had been in an episode of Psych, and he has one of the greatest lines in, I think, in all of TV to this day. They're in a car that's it's a Nissan, I think, that's blue, and they call the car the Blueberry. Mm-hmm. And he's a judge for a knockoff American Idol, and he's supposed to be like the Simon Cowell. And he's in the car, and he goes, "This car makes me want to weep and then die." And I remember watching that live. I didn't know who this guy was, but I was like, "This is just the fun." I was laughing for minutes, actually. So, Tim Curry. Anyways, so this song is a bop. I'm gonna go ahead and tell you guys, it did not make it to my iTunes playlist. Okay, because I think I need to listen to this a couple more times. Ask Kelsey how it was for Hamilton the first time I heard it. I did not like it. So this is going to be a 3 out of 5, but here's some chart information. So from 80 to 81, it made it as high as number 29 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100. It made it to number 3 in Australia. It made it to 12 in Canada, 16 in Europe, 20 in France, and 13 in the U.K. Podcast, John. So sorry. Woo! That one was quick, actually. So that's pretty impressive for a musical song,
mm-hmm.
which leads me to believe, like, I need to look up the Hamilton soundtrack right now. I need to know how these songs did. I need, where's my Hamilton, the album charts. Okay. All right. So it reached the album itself reached as high as number 2 on the US Billboard Hot 200. So I need to look that up. I'll do more digging on that. Anyways, with that being said, Kelsey, over to you, my friend.
I do have one more piece of news that I have to share with you. So sorry. You know the Game Changer show?
Yes.
So they have their own streaming app, like Netflix, okay. and everything, yeah. where their full episodes all go on that.
Okay.
So I bought it this week. We bought it and watched so much of it. It's so good.
Can I get that login though?
We'll see.
Oh,
we'll see. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it off air, because I'm not going to get to you on air. So,
well, right. I don't want it.
But also,
now.
It's actually So I went to log on to it on the computer and on my phone, and it was like you can get 20% off, and it's $47 for a whole year, which is not bad.
No.
And then I was like, I'm going to do it on the television. So I got on the television and it said it was $60. So then I got back on my phone and I did. If you do it on your phone, it will give you a discount. So, and I just think you should do it because it's supportive of them.
Yeah, like, I might just do it. I love their content.
And then like the guy, like the CEO, like obviously it, like this email goes out to everyone, but like God, I got an auto send email that was like, we don't do advertisers, like we don't have, you know, we're not funded by some big billionaire. So like, we really appreciate this. And this is just a dream of like all of our friends getting to be together and create. And so you should just do it because.
Well, a dream of mine is for the two of us to go on that show.
I was like, a dream of mine is for the two of us to finish this podcast episode.
Oh,
that we haven't started.
We have started. We've talked about the music. You introduced the episode. We have already talked about Grays. We're on a roll.
We have done some shout outs too.
Yeah. With that, here's a message from our regent. I'm kidding.
No, not yet. This episode was, spoiler alert, we like the episode. It's a good episode.
Yeah.
Not surprisingly, this episode was written and directed by a duo that we have seen many times before. And I think that really reflects in the show. And how well the episode represents the show in a whole. This episode was written by Zoanne Clack and directed by everybody's best friend, Rob Korn.
Ah, Rob Korn. He's got the juice.
So I think, again, we've definitely seen both of them many times before. They really know the show. They really know the characters. And I think that is reflected in this episode because it's just like, it's a good episode. And I think it like captures everyone well. Whilst at the same time being different and new than what we're used to.
Yeah. I mean, they were doing a bad job with Callie for a while there. I was getting real nervous about Callie. Poor we'll sweet, sweet Callie. Yeah. We'll get to it.
This episode aired February 18th, 2010 to 10.27 million views. So a significant drop from the prior week. Unsure why.
10 million views?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I was just listening, re-listening to Who's Zoomin' Who.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if people liked us then and don't like us now, our episodes are so, it's a little cringy listening to us because we were trying so hard to stay on topic and now we're true to who we are. So fuck the topic, honestly.
I understand both sides.
Yeah, I understand. I'm just being facetious. I understand both sides.
Like if you normally listen to like NPR and they just like give you facts, then I understand why you would hate this. But if you listen to people being people, then I hope you like this.
Yeah. But we do put a lot of facts in, but I was listening to that and they had 20 million. I think that was the first time an episode eclipsed 20 million was the, like the big conversation.
Well,
from that.
I think the bomb episode was the highest ever viewed. And I think it was like 32 million. It aired after a Super Bowl.
Man, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
If they aired that one and it didn't get viewers to become like, I'm curious how many Grays fans that made that night.
Yeah. Yeah. Same
post Super Bowl with Dylan exploding because of a booty bomb.
Tummy bomb.
Right.
It was in his tummy.
Tummies and booties are just one step away from each other.
Not a step. More like a toot.
One toot. Also, Marlo pooped on the potty tonight.
Ugh, she's a genius.
Yeah, she was making the poop face. And I was like, you need to poop on the potty? And she goes, yeah. I'm like, okay. How long were you going to go without? Like, I had to ask. I had to approach this. You were just going to squeeze that shit.
I had to put the invitation.
Oh, it was a ploppy turd. It was like a, you know. Anyways.
Okay.
Where do you want to start this episode?
Well, first I'm going to read the Netflix synopsis.
Oh, yeah. That's a good thing
gonna
we should do.
You're going to love this one.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Clear my throat. This is a lot. Hold on. Okay. In his new role as chief, Derek restores the hospital lecture series. That's it. That's the synopsis.
No spoilers.
No spoilies.
Really? No anything. Yep, not much of anything.
Not a thing. The only person's name mentioned is Derek, and he is one of the least amount of time in the episode.
Yeah. Yeah. But he brought the lecture series back.
Surely did. Mm. Speaking of the lecture series, I have a surprise for Carvin. I have not informed him of this.
Okay.
I am going to be introducing a brand new segment to this podcast right okay. now.
Okay.
It
better be fucking good.
I have to give a shout out because this was not my idea. We got an email and I read this and it has me absolutely fucking cackling when I read it. Julianne emailed us and she said, "Dear Kelsey and Carmen, thank you for the fun podcast. I am now well into season 14 and am therefore a qualified doctor, as I'm sure you both are. I have a suggestion for the podcast. Could you include a segment where you define some of the common medical terms we hear on the show? This would round out my medical education. Thank you." So we are going to be doing that. We could maybe workshop some names. I think right now my favorite thing that I've come up with is me just saying, because this is a teaching hospital, damn it. Because they say that in every other episode, at least, if not more. Minus
I love
the damn
that.
It. Jules suggested Dr. Vern Acular, which is also very funny.
Yo. But we need to like get into incognito character, you know, like
right.
Hello,
so
my name is Dr. Vern Vern Ack. Like JD's in Scrubs Dr. Acula play.
She emailed this and I was like, this is amazing. Thank you so much. Like, I love this idea. We're definitely doing this. It aligns. I'm so glad she emailed because it aligns perfectly with this episode, specifically bringing back the lecture series, right? Again, this is a teaching hospital.
Damn it.
Damn it. So we're going to, I for this episode, I specifically picked medical terms related to the patients that we, not all of them, but two of the patients that we encounter in this episode that I did not know much about. So I was also learning. So we're going to start with porphyria, which ultimately ends up being the diagnosis that they give Bailey's patient in her flashback. Porphyria refers to, this is from the Mayo Clinic. This is a real source. I did not go to Wikipedia for this.
Wait, also just know if we are pronouncing any of these terms wrong, it's yes, not.
Well, this actually came with pronunciation. So I know I'm doing this one right.
Like a phonetic, a guide to phonetics.
Porphyria refers to a group of rare disorders that result from a buildup of natural chemicals called porphyrins in the body. Porphyrins are needed to make heme part of hemoglobin. Hemoglobin is a protein in red blood cells, which I actually do remember from high school. It carries oxygen to the body's organs and tissues. So it is necessary. However, if you have too much of it, it can cause problems like abdominal pain, fatigue, joint soreness, what this young lady was experiencing. And that is porphyria.
Wow.
And I'm also going to tell you about a little bit about, oh God, how do I say this one? I lost my...
Was it one of the things that the grid guy had?
Cryptococcus neoformans. And it is actually a fungus that lives in the environment throughout the world. This is from the CDC. And it is just really common. Most people come in contact with it on a regular basis and never get sick from it. However, people who have weakened immune systems from autoimmune diseases are more likely to get an illness from it. And it is very, very common in people who have advanced HIV and AIDS. So it affects the lungs and the central nervous system to the brain and spinal cord.
Wow.
So there you go.
All right. I like that. And
we can continue to workshop the name. But yeah. I just thought that was a great idea from Julian. And on some episodes, you know, we might touch on the things that they say all the time, like asystole, because I don't really know what that means. I'm going to say they say it all the time and I don't really know what it means. So maybe next week we'll touch on that.
I love that. Yeah. And if there's any words out there that you want us to tackle, send us an email and we'll do it.
Yeah. We'll get that in there. Anyways. So
but we
that was
only respond
exciting.
To people who give us 5-star reviews, like us on Instagram and, you know, go to the Grey's Academy Pod on Instagram, send us emails, greysacademypod@gmail.com. Give us
find
a 5-star review,
Patreon,
www.discord.com. Fuck, nope. Patreon. Fuck.
Okay.
Go to Patreon and search for Grey's Academy Pod. You'll find it.
Okay. So before we get into the details of this episode, according to, some internet sources, this Callie's flashback allegedly happened during season 2, episode 8, which was called Let It Be, which is the episode where that guy tries to kill himself and lands on a pigeon. And then George is like, oh my God, you lived. Can you believe it? Anyways, obviously post Heart in the Elevator, but
yeah,
before any of our main people have met Callie.
Which I thought that as soon as they had this particular flashback and it was like us meeting her for the first time, whatever.
Yeah.
When they started talking about the Heart in the Elevator and I knew that it wasn't Alex and it was George, and that becomes obviously a plot point for this episode. I really thought that we were going to get a guest cameo from George.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like even just in passing.
Just walks down the hall and no one even like recognizes the fact that he's there.
Yeah. Like I was really hoping we would get something from George, but
yeah.
Spoiler alert. We did not. We did not.
No,
although
George
I do think
rising from the dead.
I do think TR Knight.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
He's going to be in an episode. He's going to come back for a guest cameo, but not as George, obviously. Yeah. Well, it could be as George. It could be a flashback as George. Or he could be playing another character.
George's evil twin brother, Dr. Drake.
One second away.
What was his twin's name? Hans Remore.
Hans Gruber Remore.
Okay. So before we get into the specific lectures, let's really quick touch about Richard coming back. First of all, it's a Richard voiceover. Amazing.
Yeah. Love
Second it. Of all, Richard is in AA to start the episode. And third of all, you said he wasn't going to come back until the season finale. So you were a little off on that. He says he's
technically he hasn't taken a job back. I said he'll come back with a job for the season finale.
No, you said he would come back.
But when I said that, I meant with a job.
Yes. Backtrack, of course.
As chief. I think he will be chief by the season finale.
Okay.
That's my prediction. That's what I was trying to say. If I misspoke, then I want to clarify.
Okay, that's fine.
You know what else I want? Some fucking ice cream. I want some fucking...
You know, today is National Oreo Day. And I don't have any Oreos.
Hmm. Hmm. Yeah, I don't either.
Tell Jessica to go to Cold Stone?
I might, actually. But then she'd have to bring me the... Oh, should I fucking do that? They have a Lucky Charms ice cream. Did you know that?
Ugh. Why would you get that when you can get the Oreo thing?
I usually do the Oreo overload.
It's very
so,
good.
All right, anyways, continue. National Oreo Day.
Okay, well, first of all, we'll take a really quick break before we even start talking about this fucking episode because we're doing amazing. We'll take a quick break for a word from our regional sponsors.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And now we'll talk about Grace. Okay. So we have the Richard voiceover. He's in an AA meeting. He says he's 45 days sober, which means it's been 45 days since two episodes ago. No, I think it was two. He wasn't in the episode last week, but he was in the one before that. That's when he like didn't sign anything.
What was last week's episode?
Mark.
Yeah. Sloan. Yeah. Okay.
Lexi dyed her hair.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, the restaurant. It was the Valentine's
Day. Yeah. Valentine's Day death massacre.
Yeah. Okay. So he's 45 days sober. And I love when he says, I am 45 days sober. I am Richard and I am a grateful and recovering alcoholic, because he's grateful that he gets a second chance.
Yeah.
Derek is still the chief. Did not love this situation.
It was kind of shitty. Yeah.
It was super shitty. Because Weber says, I was told if I went to rehab and came back, I could have my job. And Derek's like, well, pending board approval. And they didn't approve it, but we'll revisit it in 30 days or whatever he says. So
yeah, it feels a little bit like a bait and switch here. I mean, I'm glad it's a good bait and switch because he went to rehab and he's not killing himself with alcohol. Mm-hmm. But also, clearly Weber is still so beloved, you know?
Oh yeah, for sure. So yeah, I mean, what were you surprised by Derek being like, well, you can't be chief again?
Do you think
he's being honest?
I think he's being honest. I do think he's being honest. I believe, knowing how intricate some of these like behind the scenes board of directors things can be.
Yeah.
I do believe that he is being truthful. Also, what's Penis Fish guy's name? Jennings?
Yeah.
Jennings to me felt like he wanted Weber out, obviously, for a long time.
Yeah.
Regardless of how great Weber did with this merger, which he did bad, but he made it happen. He did a good thing poorly,
yes,
that ultimately was successful in spite of him.
That feels like a correct description. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think that Jennings would want to have him back. But Derek hasn't done a poor enough job, is what I'm gathering, to oust him. So it's a unique situation to be in. Also, did anyone refer to Derek as chief today? Or did he refer to himself as chief or interim chief? I don't remember.
I don't think any of those things happened, because all he was doing was really this little scene with Richard and then the introduction. And then at the end when he's like, offer still stands.
We'll see. So, yeah, I think he is being honest. I don't think he has any reason to lie, I don't think.
Yeah.
But I also am curious how much they'd be willing to pay Weber as a general surgeon, general attending surgeon.
Right. Well, remember when we looked up all that stuff, it didn't look like the chiefs of anything actually made more money.
It feels like the surgeons make more money than the chiefs. Jeeves.
Jeeves. Ask Jeeves.
Ask Jeeves.
No, I don't. Yeah, it was bizarre. It was like they were, it was just a title and more work on top of no extra money. It's just like definitely what everybody loves the most. So,
well, that is the definition of capitalism.
If that ain't the truth.
Yeah.
Okay. So Richard does not want to work for Derek, and I respect it.
Yeah.
But Derek is like, oh, I'm bringing back lecture day. Can you at least, like, we have an opening. Can you speak? What did you think lecture day was going to be? Like, was it immediately clear to you what was going to happen?
No, but I thought it was going to be kind of like a morbidity, mortality kind of conference where they would be talking through things that happened recently. Mm-hmm. Like, it seemed all like they were all talking about things that happened way. I mean, Weber was talking about way in the past, like his particular.
Right.
Man, you know, but like I thought it was going to be a very like a recent thing, and they were going to lecture on current things or like maybe new and innovative procedures. So it was cool how they had it set up. But it wasn't what I was expecting.
So this is obviously an episode very different than the episodes we are used to. It's a lot of flashbacks and a lot of back and forth, like between different stories, kind of like not the same level of chaos as the fire episode, but something similar where it's a very different structure than what we're used to seeing on the show, while still like maintaining the essence of Grey's Anatomy that we know. So which one do you want to talk about first?
So here's the order that I had them introduced.
Okay.
Unless I could be wrong. So Bailey was first.
Mm-hmm.
Then Callie's.
Mm-hmm.
Then Weber's.
Yeah.
So do you want to tackle them?
Yeah, because I think we're definitely going to have the most to say about Weber's.
Yeah, so let's do Callie or Bailey, then Callie, then Weber. But also, we do need to recognize specifically around Bailey that she was checking herself out in the mirror, and that one what's the anesthesiology guy? What's his name?
Dr. Warren. Warren.
Yeah. Dr. Warren is like, don't worry, you look good. And Bailey's like, go
away. But then she got her little Bailey smirk.
Yeah. So I like
and
that.
She does
that
look
was
good.
Cute.
That color is stunning on her.
Absolutely.
It's so fun to see them like not wear scrubs, like to wear like nice clothes. Cause I'm like, oh, look at you. Look at you looking all nice.
Yeah. So the Bailey flashback was pretty jarring to the Bailey that we have today.
Very different. Very different. She's so quiet. She is definitely not the Bailey we know. And she has like purple glasses, I think, pink or purple glasses.
Yeah. And long braids.
Mm-hmm.
And is quiet.
Very quiet.
So
still very smart immediately, yeah. Like very smart, still great with the patient, like prioritizing connecting with the patient, has just a piece of shit resident
named Baylow. Bailey and Baylow. I'm like, could they have been any more close?
I did not notice that. This woman, the woman who is her resident, you saw the Lindsay Lohan Parent Trap, right?
Oh, that's her?
No, but it reminds me of her. So, like every time it does. I watch this okay, episode, I would, I'm she like, looked that's familiar. Meredith Blake, but it's
that's
not.
So
and
funny.
Every time I watch this episode, I look it up because I'm like, this time it will be her, but it's a different person.
I'm preemptively making a guess for Living in Shondaland. I think that she's a Living in Shondaland. I feel okay. like this person is someone that I've seen. I feel like I've seen her in either How to Get Away with Murder or in Scandal.
Okay.
So also we do anyways, have, I mean, there's another
like,
person
she
who
looks
I know
like she could be her sister.
Yeah. So yeah. So Bailey Baylow, the opening scene that we get of her is they're doing rounds. Mm-hmm. Do the residents and the interns round together? Have we seen that?
Okay. Nothing is clear. In the way that this is a teaching hospital, damn it.
Damn
nothing,
it.
Nothing is clear. Because, like, okay, let's think about it. Bailey teaches her residents, and they're with her, like, all the time. And then she's still a resident, and they've graduated, and now they have interns. And then it's just, like, because she gets named chief resident, like the second or third season, I think. It's unclear like what the order, how anything works. I just don't understand it. Like every time they reference the way that this is done, I feel like it's different. And I don't know at what, I mean, our interns that we know, our babies, they got interns their second year. However, this makes it seem like they're further along. I really don't know is the answer to the question.
it was interesting to me because Weber was asking them questions as chief, mm-hmm. but if it is a teaching hospital, damn it. I feel like Dr. Baylow would have been standing back and letting the Baileys and the interns answer the question.
Mm-hmm.
But unless she, I don't know. Yeah, it was just
she might just be a garbage teacher, which it
that's
seems
probably,
like she is.
Yeah, I mean, she's a garbage all around kind of person, you know.
We've seen other things where, like, we've had episodes where there are cases that have an attending on it, and the attending asks a question, and sometimes the residents answer, and sometimes the interns answer, and sometimes, like, if the resident answers, the attending will be like, well, you should let your interns answer. So they've definitely had it and they like called it out for it. But I think it kind of maybe like depends on the case. I don't know.
Yeah, I wasn't
sure. This case seems like it's not anything crazy rare or anything, but because it's more of a mystery, maybe that's like why the chief is getting involved. I don't really know why else he would be so involved.
Yeah. However, she goes by Mandy originally. That's one of the backstory things that we get. And
Mandy Bailey.
And
what an angel.
Yeah. And she's
which honestly this character, if you recall, which you probably don't, the bus crash episode with like all the high schoolers and then like the bus driver was the guy that she had a crush on in high school.
Yeah.
Like at the end she yells at Derek and she's like, you know, like you guys, all you boys were the same in high school and you're so mean to me. And like, I was just quiet and like smart. This version of her that we see in this flashback is more in line with that version that she describes than what we see on a regular basis.
Did that bus driver guy call her Mandy?
I think so, actually, yeah.
Oh, man, I don't remember that because I feel like I would have reacted to that then, too. But yeah, hearing her go as Mandy was shocking to me. So if yeah. if she went by Mandy at that too, and that's how he addressed her, then that's on me for not remembering. But it's funny because as she's doing the presentation, she's throwing out candies and she's got great mm-hmm. aim. Like, that's funny.
Yeah, she pegs Christina in the face.
Yeah. What was she doing? Was she just... She
some
just
kind
was...
of stitch.
Oh, okay.
Her and Meredith were practicing some kind of stitch.
That makes more sense. I was like why
some
is she
kind of tie
around her leg? Yeah. So, okay, that makes way more sense. Way more sense. Thank you, sure Professor.
This is the teaching hospital, damn it.
Damn it.
Okay. So, yeah, I just think it's interesting that it's... And this was 2003. And our series starts in 2006. So I guess Bailey would be in her third year. Who knows? It's a fucking mystery to me.
And Dr. Baylo is nowhere to be found. So Baylo got fired. Yeah. Or blew up.
Or took a fellowship at another hospital.
All possible answers. Mine seem to be the most possible. Mm. So we get a scene where they're in the surgery and Dr. Baylo says something about having a high fat diet. And then mm-hmm. Bailey's like, she's a vegan. So, yeah.
So she probably has a pretty low fat diet.
Yeah. And she gets big mad. And Weber's like, you got a fantastic intern on your hands there, Dr. Baylo. Keep up the good work.
I don't know why that would make her mad. Because he's basically like, hey, you're doing a great job like teaching.
Yeah. Fucking do that more. But that's the question that they ask, that she asks, is what's the most important part in the patient journey? And Jackson's mm-hmm. like, oh, it's the physical exam. And she's like, you a dumb bitch. But
but you're pretty.
Yeah. And then Lexi goes, patient background. And she goes, ding, ding, mm-hmm. ding, gets a candy. Ooh, piece of candy. Mm.
Lexi still looks stunning. So beautiful. Mm.
Honestly.
Yeah, she speaks up on behalf of her patient. She... again, clearly has like established a connection and conversation and like knows more about this patient than just what's in the chart. And she has her little notebook and she like shows, she's like, it's in the notes, like shows another person. She's like, look, I wrote it right here. Her yeah. ex-boyfriend was a vegan chef. They broke up after her last surgery. I'm like, okay, this is borderline Izzy at this point. With the personal knowledge.
Hey, patient history, most important part.
It is important.
Go ahead.
The whole picture, as we learn.
Yes.
Yes, the whole picture.
And check the throat.
So they do remove whatever they believe to be the issue. And they send this woman home. And then it's like 2 or 3 months later, I think, she comes back to the ER in a lot of pain. They misdiagnose her as appendicitis. Richard and Bailey are in the surgery. Oh, Bailey. It's Bailey's first solo surgery. Richard and her are in the surgery. And he's like, you know, surgery is a shark tank. You have to be a shark. You can't be a minnow. You got to like have sharp teeth and be strong and fight for yourself. Don't be a minnow. And she says, are you referring to my size? And he said, God made you short. Who made you quiet?
That was such a cool fucking line.
Yeah, it really was. I
loved that whole interaction
mm-hmm.
because it's there. There's a couple of things I want to point out. You don't have to be a dick to be a shark. You can be right. a good shark and or a whale like shark. Bruce. Well, like Bruce, you could be a recovering fishaholic. Mm-hmm. So, man,
it's a great scene.
I'm just thinking in my head now of the Finding Nemo musical from Disney.
So good.
Fish are friends,
not food.
Anyways, when he says God made you short, who made you quiet? I was like, oh fuck, her shitty parents did. They were lovely parents, I'm sure. But I'm still mad at her dad. But yeah, no, we kind of get that scene later on where he's like, she said I was raised to be respectful and courteous mm-hmm, and like blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. So it's interesting how she chose a profession that is encouraging an active disassociation from her upbringing. Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
So anyway, the appendix is fine, but since they're there, they just take it out anyways.
Yeah, they still take it out.
This is human beings.
Well, this is a teaching hospital, damn it.
So they take it out anyways. Balo's like, yay, my intern was wrong. I'm so thrilled about it. Like, what the fuck is wrong with this woman? Bailey in the current times in the lecture talks about how they were running all these tests and they like list all the different tests that they wanted to do. And then she goes to her resident and she's like, I want to do X, Y, and Z test. And the resident is like, no, we're going to send her to psych because she's depressed. And Bailey's like, yeah, she has constant pain. That's depressing. And, she's like, no, I'm not going to do that. And then Richard comes over and is like, hey, what are we doing for this patient? And Balo is like, oh my God, I had these like great ideas for all these tests we could run on top of a psych console. He's like, wow, that's really good thinking. And she's like, yes, I'm just going to take credit for this because I'm the worst.
That was the scene that I thought Bailey was going to jump in and become a shark, but she did not.
Yeah.
Instead, she got more and more scut work throughout the entire episode.
Yep. So the girl leaves again, comes back again. They're going to take her for a different surgery because they think it's a bowel obstruction. And Miranda notices that her pee is orange, which feels like someone else should have noticed by now.
At some point in her many stays and surgeries, yeah. And it's not the first time she would have had a bag.
Yeah. You know? So she cancels the surgery and man, does that piss off her resident. She's like, why are you get off cancer? We're surgeons. We're supposed to do surgery.
That was a really good Dr. Balo impression.
Thank you. I thought so as well. So that's when we see Mandy transform into Miranda Bailey, as we know and love, stands up for herself, stands up for her patient. She's like, I diagnosed this woman. Like, we do not need to cut her open yet again and do a pointless surgery yet again when we can do this test and do this simple medication treatment and be done with it. And Dr. Weber sees this interaction, calls her into his office. You are led to believe that he is going to scold her, but actually he is quite proud of her. And he tells her that and then is essentially like, but you have to pretend like I'm yelling at you so that the residents outside like can believe that this pecking order still exists.
And then she starts to smile and he goes, stop that shit now.
Yeah, but we definitely,
it's a great scene.
Sorry, go ahead. We do need to touch on, you mentioned it already. Bailey, when she is at Joe's.
Long hair. Long hair, Joe.
Joe has long hair. I wrote, she gets drunk and cries to Joe, who has long hair, because it is the past.
Right. They needed to have some sort of differentiator to say time has passed. Now he has short hair.
And he was wearing glasses to show that time had passed.
Yes.
And he had long hair because time has gone backwards. So, yeah, I just wanted to. That's when she has the moment where she's like, I was raised to be kind and respectful and blah, blah, blah. And anyways, so.
So there's a couple of things also I want to point out. So I didn't realize that one of the misdiagnoses has caused her to have her ovaries taken out.
Mm-hmm.
So Dr. Balo has practiced these surgeries, but
she has practiced mal.
Yeah.
Get it?
Mal practiced. and
that was really she's dumb. Practiced I'm so mal. Sorry.
No, that was fun. That was great. Hey, no. Don't ever you put yourself out there. You took a chance on a terrible joke. It didn't land, but you committed, damn it.
It didn't land because it took you 30 full seconds to get it.
No, it was good. I caught it right away. We're now at the 30-second mark. We've had this conversation for 30 seconds. Anyways, so I like that. Well, I didn't realize that. So that, first off, that sucks. Being misdiagnosed and then losing your ovaries, like Dr. Balo's lack of attention to this and lack of taking it seriously mm-hmm. has caused this woman to now not be able to have birth. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's shitty. I also want to call out that when Weber sees Bailey start to become, or when Mandy starts to, you know, kill Mandy and now mm-hmm. transform into Miranda, and she's in her reputations era.
Right.
He like is like, Dr. Bailey. Hey, Dr. Bailey. And she's digging.
She's like, once she starts, she's like, I can't stop until I've said what I need to say.
And she gets all of, yeah, she gets her piece in. She gets every word in.
Yeah.
So, but I like that Weber's like,
super silious fool.
Yeah. Yeah. I love what'd you say? Oh yeah. What'd you say? Super. Yeah. What was it?
I think
pull up this dialogue. Give us Mandy killing Miranda and becoming Dr. Bailey.
Okay. You fill for time.
Okay. When Weber is in the room actually saying this to Bailey, and he's saying, I'm going to be talking in a firm voice like I'm yelling. It kind of reminds me in Anchorman when they're all sitting there and they're arguing, and Brick just goes, I don't know what we're yelling about.
Loud noises.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
No, Dr. Balow. You wanted to go in and explore her obstruction. She doesn't have any signs of adhesions. Just because she's had previous surgeries doesn't mean that you shouldn't actually look for another cause. She has a pseudo obstruction that could be resolved with an NG tube. And if you looked further and, I don't know, talked to your patient, you would have discovered that along with abdominal pain, she also had weakness, palpitations, numbness, skin chastens, and her urine is intermittently dark. Ringing any bells yet? Your patient, who has been sliced 9 ways to Sundays, has porphyria. If you had diagnosed it earlier, she could have avoided getting her ovaries taken out and her gallbladder. And yes, I took out her appendix, and I too am at fault for not looking at the whole person. But you know the difference between me and you? I learned something from it. I learned when not to cut. I learned to listen to my patient. How could you have not learned in 3 years what it took me 3 months to learn? And the reason I had her chart was because you ignored my pages, and she needs to get started on Heman right away. You put it in her IV. You give it to her daily for 4 days. The patient gets better. The patient doesn't get prodded, probed, or scoped, or cut open like a Thanksgiving turkey, you supercilious fool. Delightful.
That was good.
Fucking that was good.
I love that we finally get a little bit of this backstory transition. I'm very happy about this. It's interesting, though, because in the spirit of what Weber is saying about learning from your peers, learning from the people around you, Bailey learned what not to do.
That's true.
Right?
She says in her speech, she's like, which do you learn more from, your successes or your failures?
Right.
Your failures. However, you also learn a lot from other people's failures as well. Unfortunately.
And she, yeah. And Dr. Balow was failing. So yeah, it's just very interesting. I really like this backstory in general. I hope that we get more backstory as time goes on. Mm-hmm. But to your point, they're really, I guess, wouldn't be a ton of time, because a lot of Bailey's growth and development as a person comes since we've gotten the interns, that she's gotten her own interns.
Right.
But it would be very interesting to see how her, because Weber even says that she was a very like highly regarded applicant.
Yeah, I was going to mention that as well. Everyone was so excited to have you. Like, I remember your application for the program. Like, you're very talented, very smart. Clearly, Arbus is correct.
Yeah. So I love that. Anything else you want to add on this particular storyline?
I love it. Oh, when Christina guesses something and she's like, give me candy. And Bailey's like, no.
It is so funny how that's a pro tip for anyone out there who's looking to get into the public speaking business. We know Callie for sure is not. It's bring candy mm-hmm. and people will be engaged. But you have to be able to throw it like Bailey does, because she did not miss a beat.
She had a good aim.
In between our episodes, hands. I might go get some chocolat.
Chocolat. Also wanted to note at the end, Bailey looks over and sees Dr. Warren, and he like does a little nod and clap to her, and she's pleased.
Smitten. She is smitten.
They seem to be in a good spot. Do you wanna make any predictions?
I predict they're going to fuck.
I don't think you've ever said those words on this podcast ever.
Well, it's a first time. There's a first time for everything.
First time.
So here's my problem. In my head, I want them to smush, right? Mm-hmm. In my gut, I have a feeling that the second they smush, Tuck is going to come back going, I'm ready to be a family again.
And if he did that, you think Bailey would be like, cool. You've never wronged me.
I hope not. But then what if Tuck ends up trying to fight Dr. Warren because of it?
Like a fist fight?
Yeah. Or what if Dr. Warren dies the second they smush, and they could have, or he proposes and then he dies. I don't know.
How does he die?
Because Tuck kills him.
Oh.
No, I don't know. Probably he gets caught in the wave of Hunt's terror.
Mm.
Stray bullet from Hunt.
Hunt's rampage.
Bert comes back and kills him. No, I don't. Burke.
I thought you said Bert, and I was like, Bert and Ernie?
Yeah. Yeah, those ones come back and kill him. No, I don't know. I feel like in this show, people have to go through a lot of shit before they can really be happy. And yeah. Meredith, it took 6 seasons for her to finally actually become happy.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of therapy. Which doesn't seem like anyone else is doing, so.
Hunt was
right, you're right,
unclear
you're
right. if he still is maintaining that. I'm concerned. Also, Weber clearly is going to therapy, and it's working. AA therapy. And I'm concerned that Bailey is going to have to go through a shit arc before she can be happy again.
Okay.
I'm nervous that something bad is going to happen to this guy, or he's going to leave and take another job, or it turns out that he's a philanderer or married. What if he is getting Addison'd right now? You're leaving me with nothing. That's it.
Yeah, no, I did a pop. Because that would be popping.
That would be popping. All right, I think that's all I got. You want to do another episode?
Yes, I do want to do that. And you know what we should start with?
What's that?
Everyone's favorite segment.